Welcome to Flowery Branch. It's a victory Monday for the Falcons, who beat the San Francisco 49ers yesterday, 41-13 at the Georgia Dome. Great to spend the first half hour here with Coach Dan Quinn. Congratulations to you and your team. That's pretty much by the script. When you want to do something emphatically and deliver the message, I thought you guys did a great job yesterday.
And I know we're judged on Sundays, but I thought that game was won during the week. And the preparation was on point. The intent was right. I felt it all the way through. I thought Matt had one of his best practices Wednesday. And then I saw more examples of being ready Thursday as we got into our Friday preparation and into the weekend. So we have a real routine that we like to go through to get ready. And I thought the guys nailed that this week, and that carried over into the game. But we were looking to run with emphasis on all three phases, you know, not just running the ball, but the way we go, the way we carry out our fakes, the way we run and hit defensively, the way we want to cover kick. So I felt that speed at hand in the game.
Dan, I think that's an amazing point, and that may fly over some's heads, but when you really break that down, it's difficult. Having been a player, it's difficult sometimes to carry over. Okay, we want to be physical, we want to do this, this, and this, and then to get to Sunday and actually manifest that from what you had in the practice. Is that a sign that your team, and they've been pretty much like that all year long, been able to carry what you're doing on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday into the weekend, but is that a sign that the team is dialed in where you want them to be?
I think they totally recognize they're all an extension of one another, and the way we carry out the play fake is an important part to this route being, you know, for Matt running the keeper fakes is important for the wide zone game. Defensively, you know, ball hawking and going after it and taking shots every chance you get. Now, we had one forced fumble and we got it, but there were plenty of other shots we were taking on the ball. They did a good job of holding on to it, but the intent was right. So we're always looking for somebody who can set it off, and I thought Weems did another good job in the punt return to set it off. So defensively, to start it off with a stop, punt it, get the offense, good field position, go down and score. That's having your mindset ready to start.
Interesting. We touched on this a couple of weeks ago, and seemingly it's kind of played out, I guess, here in the last 2 weeks, at least from our vantage point. You've kind of dealt with your issues. You've gotten your team ready to play. Yes, you've scouted the opponent. You have respect for the guys you're playing.
We do.
But it's about your list, your punch list to be successful,
that
right?
That is correct. And as you go through, the longer you get in the week, the more the focus comes back to you. Of course, on Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday, there's so much information that you're trying to digest about the opponent, and then you start to understand, okay, I have those alerts down. Now it comes back to me, my heart, my mind, right, to go and absolutely nail it. And so when you get into that state, into that feeling, because of the reps you've done over and over and over, it allows you to play at your best. You don't have to play perfect, but you can play really well.
Dan, we've talked so much about the brotherhood among the players and the players that have stepped up when you have somebody down, and it's been incredible how many different guys. Aldrick Robinson has 100 yards yesterday receiving, another guy stepping up and making plays. I think we probably have been remiss by not mentioning guys you chose to be a part of your staff. Raheem Morris, who's done an amazing job in the wide receiver room. Marquand Manuel, who's done an amazing job of juggling what's going on in the secondary as well. That's part of the brotherhood as well.
That
you guys
is.
Coming together as a staff to and, put these plans together.
Jeff Ulbrich as well. There was time this year when linebackers were down. We moved a strong safety to linebacker. So it does come back to the players knowing, hey, what do you need me to do? And I'll do it. And when that happens, that's when you know you're at there. When a guy goes down, you know you're ready. You don't have to tell them, hey, you need to. You know, they already know. And this is their time to come through for their guys. And it's such a powerful feeling when you do. Because not only does it build confidence for the coaches, but it builds confidence amongst your teammates.
Are we into galvanizing moments now with this
That's
team?
That's a big word.
I know.
Yeah. Give me a
no, – Well, I mean, don't know what that means.
Is it a full unifying deal now? Because, I mean, Arch mentions Aldrick Robinson, out of football a year ago.
Yep.
30 career catches and 38 career games coming into this year. Taylor Gabriel, waived at the end of the year. Eric Weems, core teams guy. I mean, I'm talking about
just
receivers.
We're looking for guys who have that grit. And sometimes you go through some setbacks like Al did or Gabe in his instance did. And those kind of setbacks, they don't stay permanent. And you can have a real mindset to come out the other side with something to prove. And sometimes that player who has a chip on their shoulder with something to prove can be a dangerous guy. Yeah. And so we encourage that, and we like that. And that's why some guys, you know, that we have brought in, that's worked. Some it hasn't, but it's totally worth trying, and especially for a guy like Al. He went for it from the time he got here and through OTAs. Okay, we'll see if that carries through camp. And it did again, And there's a number of guys who have that kind of toughness and ability to compete. He has really improved Aldrich has.
Yeah. I'm going to add Courtney Upshaw to that list.
Yeah, you should add him. That's
okay.
A good, yep.
I mean, same kind of situation.
Yeah,
like.
Okay, we played outside linebacker at Baltimore. I think you got a unique skill set. You're bigger than maybe the outside rusher right now that we would like to feature, but you're tough. You love to battle. Let's slide you inside. And now he's getting more comfortable in that role, you know, the more weeks that he's played it. Think about it. For him, there's been some guys who were healthy inactives and then now found their role and found their niche, and I think he's a very good example of that.
Got to remember, Wes, you're talking to a couple old football players now. I mean,
yeah.
We're going to start asking for definition, origin, all that kind of stuff on some of these words you're throwing out at us. It's the Dan Quinn Coaches Show here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We're late in the year.
Q, the physicality of your offensive line, I thought, was mesmerizing. I mean, as a quarterback, you love to see that where they're dominating the line of scrimmage. And, yeah, the 49ers were challenged a little bit to stop the run, but you still have to go get it done. You still have to go get people blocked.
Yep.
And it wasn't just the backs running hard, which they were.
Yep.
It was your five offensive linemen. It was the three tight ends that played in the game. It was your fullback. It was your receivers. Talk about how good the team was blocking in the run game.
And I think we know for us, to run the ball really effectively, we like to look at that sideline copy. And the first thing we want to look at is how hard we're coming off the ball. And when we're coming off the ball with that kind of intent, then we know it takes all 11 guys to run it. It's the receivers. It's the tight ends. It's the combination blocks that happen inside. It's Matt on the play fakes, you know, after the run. So making sure all that comes to life. We thought we had some looks when we played the Rams that we didn't nail. And so it was a real emphasis for us this week. Can we come out and improve upon that? And there were some good examples of that in the game.
You run the ball with both guys, though. And, again, we're getting back to the combination in that run game that you touched on last week with us. It might be one guy one week, one guy the next week. Yesterday, Free had three touchdowns. But at the same time, it's the threat of the two. And we even saw a snap, I think Arch mentioned during the game, we saw a snap or two of both guys in there at the
Correct.
Same time yesterday.
We did.
So there's evolving even with those guys having success.
And the great part about it is they're, like, when one scores, the other one's one of the first ones to meet them. And they're so excited for what they can do together. Mm-hmm. And that's what makes a brotherhood work. When that type of connection's there, they're so excited for, of course, they all want to score, but if they had a choice for somebody else to, they'd rather be the guy who's, you know, who's in the room with them every day.
I'm so impressed with how whoever gets in the game, it's like they're the featured guy. I mean, Teron Ward comes in the game yesterday to salt the game away. You want to go to your 4-minute offense where you want to run the clock out. And Teron Ward's running like a bell cow back. He's running through people. He rips off the long run. There's a pride level that not every team can capture in every room, and there seems to be a pride level no matter who puts steps on the field, and it obviously goes back to what you've been able to cultivate as a brotherhood here.
And it really goes through also in that running back room and the connection they have for one another. Pat DeMarco is a big part of that, but Teron is a very good competitor, and he's always shown that toughness. If you guys can even remember back to the last preseason game, bum ankle, battling for it. That didn't stop him, and then took a while on the practice squad, and then when his number was called again, he knew he would be ready. He's somebody that displays that toughness every time he plays.
By the way, the guy that went 17 for 193 the week before was 13 for 71 yesterday, and I want to say 30-some of the 71 was on like back-to-back
runs,
carries there in one of those drives early in the game. So you did a good job on Carlos Hyde.
We knew he was going to be tough. When you go through it and we went through a lot of tackling this week to make sure our intent was right on him. He had a terrific stiff arm. I've always thought Tom Rathman, whatever backs, he was there all the way back to Garrison, you know, at the Niners. He has always had guys who just battled and competed, and it was no doubt, you know, that Carlos was that type of player. We saw it last week. We saw it in other games. So as you're getting ready to play a back like that, you better have your tackling plan in order. And I thought the guys did.
You went to a three-man pass rush on a third and long situation. Cap gets out of the pocket, finds the tight end down the middle. Very next snap, you decide you want to do that. Beasley's in a spy technique, runs him down and sacks him. Was that something that maybe you I think you always knew you had it, but you found it maybe against Aaron Rodgers when you played Green Bay?
Yeah, when a guy can get out, sometimes when you're playing certain man-to-mans where your back is turned, he can be so dangerous with it. I think he had averaged over 7 yards a carry on the season. So all those aren't on zone read runs. There's a lot that, okay, it's third and seven. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, he had maybe like 9 or 10 first down conversions, much like Rodgers did. So There is times that we do that, knowing that you better have somebody who is the spy who is fast. It's not just enough to have somebody back there who has, okay, I'm here. You got to be able to be there and go get them. And for us, Vic, you know, because Colin was rolling on that play too. Those were two fast guys competing.
Yeah, I don't think that Kaepernick had any idea that 44 could close the cushion that quickly and put him on the ground. I thought that was very impressive.
Yeah, he did a good job. The ball was on the inside hand. He flipped it the outside knowing that Vic was closing. But it was real. There was some very good competing going on in different ways, different styles, the physicality. So we were pleased to see that.
Interesting. In August and in one of our early visits, we talked about this with Thomas Dimitroff when he joined us, the equity of speed in this football team. It is across the board at every position. And now here later in the year, it's one of the characteristics I think that's starting to show up a little bit more, Coach.
And for us, probably the bye happened at a good time. When we played Philadelphia, I don't know how many weeks back, but we just didn't look as fast that day. And I know you guys called it, so you probably thought the same. Defensively, we struggled on third down. Offensively, mm-hmm. we struggled on third down. And since we've come back, our speed has come back a bit. And I think defensively over the last month, a lot of that had to do with the communication, knowing that here's the alerts, here's the calls where we can play faster. And offensively, we've always used lots of guys to get the explosive plays, but it was great to see the run game in specifically come back and turn like it did yesterday.
Q, as we get to this time of the year, all the periphery talk begins to ramp up. Start talking about postseason. You start talking about this game's implication to this and what's going on over here amplifies over here. Your team has been so focused all year long, but is there any conversation you have to have with your club at this point in time, maybe reiterating some of the things you've already said?
Well, I certainly recognize that happens. That's part of your guys' job. But if you look too far ahead, you're going to miss all the cool things that are going to happen right now. Mm-hmm. And that's this week and this game. So when you start to let your mind go somewhere else, we recognize it and I bring it right back to what we got to do at hand this week to see how good we can get. So we recognize it's a conversation that happens outside our locker room. And if you feel yourself go there, you bring it right back because right at the present moment, doing what we're doing to make that our primary purpose, it's way more fun to go through the season that way.
Well, fortunately, a couple division games, so you won't have to.
No. For us, having these rivalries right here at the end of the season, it's a terrific spot for us. It's going to be an absolute battle with Carolina. It just is. They're a tough team. We're a tough team. And we know it'll be a terrific matchup.
And Saturday, 1 o'clock ball game in Charlotte, so it's a different week of preparation from a calendar perspective. And this is a them problem, not a you problem. Panthers play tonight.
Yep.
So it's a quicker turn for Ron Rivera's team, of course, who finds themselves in Washington at 5-8 on the season and coming off a win against San Diego last week.
It'll be a battle, and we know that. We love the process we go through to get ready. And so for us, as opposed to the players having a day off on Tuesday, we'll shift that one to the end of the week where they'll have next Sunday after the game. And so for us, the process begins tomorrow like it's a Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. So we have a real routine that we go through to get ready, and that's what we talk about with the team. And that's what we intend on doing.
Boy, looking at this just from my perspective, I think this is going to be a bloodbath. I think these are two teams that want each other badly, two physical football teams. I don't think it matters anything what happens tonight that affects this game. I think these are two teams that want each other. It's interesting, Dan, when you look at it in the role flip. If you go back to last year, you guys went up there late in the season. They did a really good job of handling you guys. They came here and you guys handed them their first loss of the season, the only one they had in the regular season. Now you flip it around. You took care of business here in your building, hung some really big numbers on them, and they're going to have a chance to maybe defend their building. It's strange to have a role reversal like that, but I know you guys don't care anything about that.
No.
You're going to go play a division opponent.
It's going to be an absolute battle, and that's what we expect. We've had, Ron Rivera and his team, it's a tough group. And that goes back even from my time, even before being here and battling against them. So for us and for them, any records, you can throw all that out, and it's going to be a terrific matchup.
Why is this particular game, this will be the third time for you, fourth time, I guess.
Right.
Why is this game the way it is? Is it the proximity? I mean, you've been through, you mentioned Seattle, you played Carolina before. I guess you guys had it with San Francisco probably when you were in the Northwest, that type thing. Is that just the way the NFL kind of works itself out from time to time?
Well, number one, I think we're very fortunate that we're in a really good division. And, not just the quarterbacks who are damn good. But right. The physical players, the running backs, the defense, you know, there's just a lot of things that you like about this division. And so now we're back to it and playing these division games again. So the fact that they're lined up at the end of the season for great matchups all the way through. And in the fourth quarter, like, that's what finishing is all about. And so for us to have division games against really, you know, two tough teams, and that's what our division stands for. So I love coaching in this division. You know, it's tough. It's a battle. And now we get a chance to go right back for it again.
Dan, any benefits of having just gotten through playing Kaepernick and preparing for a guy that can move, and now you get Cam Newton, similar guy that can affect you with his legs as well as throwing the ball?
Yeah, they're different, but there certainly is carryover. The way they're different, where there's not as many designed quarterback runs where Cap may, where Cam does. How do they, you know, work on third down? Both of them are a factor to extend plays. And when you face the mobile quarterbacks in our league, and it's just going to be more and more as we're going, based on some of the guys who are coming out of college who are really mobile and athletic, the defenses have to adjust. And so knowing that there's a number of guys that can really get out of the pocket, for sure there's carryover.
When you look at – you played them in week four.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's been a long time. It almost feels like a season's gone by since you played them. It has been. How much different – obviously the two teams are different because of injury and all that kind of stuff. So there's going to be things that maybe you haven't seen that they've done, and
sure.
Certainly things you guys have done that they haven't seen. How far back do you go back to study tape to get ready for this one?
Well, there's always a lot of gamesmanship back and forth and new looks and new wrinkles. And you know what they do. They know what you do. So there's definitely some new ideas and some new wrinkles based off of this formation. Now we're going to do this, or this defensive look, it may now go into this. So that for sure happens. For us, you definitely go back through because, you know, over the last couple of years, coordinators familiar, players, you know, familiar. So you can go back and go longer if you'd like to in a game like this.
Both have also been influenced by injury one way or another. Sure. You know, you've shelved Trufant, Kamal Ishmael, Jacob Tammy.
No, all this is long. You're not going to be able to get
right,
everybody.
But likewise, so have they. I mean,
yep.
Michael Orr's done for the season. They've had some changeover as well. How much does the personnel influence account for that study?
I think it depends on the position.
Okay.
And, you know, like you said, if it had been a tackle, do they do something different? Is it a defensive lineman? Is it a cornerback? So depending on the position, that may have a bigger influence. But at the end of it, you know, when you have your whole team together, you're practicing in the same way. So if you're going to put a guy in, your scheme isn't going to change. You may do things to feature that player at his very best. So if he does something really unique, you're going to try and make that part of the package.
It's the Dan Quinn Coaches Show here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Q, once again, another week where you're going to have to kind of sift through the puzzle pieces to try to decide who's going to be available so you can fit them in. I guess every fan out there wants to know about Julio Jones. I know you probably don't know yet. What's your plan for Julio this week?
Well, we're hopeful that he'll be able to do some practice and get rolling. So we won't know as we get into the week where he can really burst and plant and change directions at full speed. Mm-hmm. He's such an explosive guy that he has to feel comfortable getting in and out of those breaks. So for a big guy, it's not just the speed that he has. He actually has great change of direction. So sticking that foot in the ground and hauling and breaking guys off and man-to-man, that's a big part of his game too.
Do you have to be almost guarding himself against himself to a certain extent when you evaluate this because
yeah.
of what you just talked about?
True. And I'd also said we'll be have to be the ones that will say you're inactive for this game.
Right.
Because he is such a competitor that he thinks he can will through it. So when we see him looking better in practice and knowing, okay, that's – and he makes that through without, you know, re-aggravating anything, then we'll know he's ready.
And I would imagine Jalen probably fits in the same category.
And he does. And so we're optimistic for those guys. But until we go through the week, let's just, you know, plan, you know, like we've got these 63 guys and how are we going to maneuver them to play. And we'll take it all the way through the week to do that.
You know, it's interesting. Arch and I have talked often about the influence of guys like Tony Gonzalez on younger guys, and Julio would fall in that category. Joe Horn years ago on Roddy White was one of the other ones we've often talked about. I'm getting the impression that 11 is now having an impact on a lot of the younger guys here. You just mentioned Jalen Collins. You almost have to turn the volume down on Julio because of that inner drive. That one thing that separates him to make him who he is
yep.
is the one thing you've got to manage a little bit as his head coach, right?
And as a relentless competitor, which he is, that's our job, you know, to help make those decisions for him because he would just, I'm going. And so it's, nope, no, you're not. And this is how we're going to go through it this week. But we're optimistic for this week. it's because of his humility and toughness that allows him to be the teammate that he is.
Let me, I want to get you to revisit a story you told briefly in, I think, your press conference today about him coming in, Julio coming in, wanted treatment early on game day so he could be available to those younger guys.
That's true, and it was not something that would show up in the stat sheet, but that, I think, just speaks of who he is as a teammate. And knowing my role is way different today on game day than it normally is, so I want to be out there when they're warming up. I want to be out there on the sideline. I want to be in it with him and take the trip with him. So hopefully Coach Jones will be soon back, off that side of it. But I think it just speaks of who he is as a teammate and why so many people on this team regard him so highly.
Another ho-hum performance by your quarterback. He completed 70% of his balls for about almost 300 yards and a couple touchdowns on his way to what I think is an MVP season by a player. I know you're not, well, you don't want to go there, but talk about Matt and all the guys that are making plays around him are kind of maybe people forgetting about the orchestrator of this whole deal.
I thought he had one of his very best weeks of practice, and it started on Wednesday. And the connections he had, one with Gabe and one with Al, one with – I mean, there were some – big time, you know, throws that he made on Wednesday's practice that I thought, okay, he is on it and feeling it, and his technique was right, reads were right, and it kind of carried over through the week. So he puts a lot in, like the rest of the guys do, knowing this plan, these are the plays I like, this is the look I'm expecting, and if it happens, you know, like kind of like, if you're going to try me here, this is how I want to go attack.
Final couple minutes here with Coach Quinn. Ryan Schrader is going to visit with us in our player spotlight today. Comes up in our next segment. A young guy whose football journey is fascinating to me simply because of his lack of football experience, and then he embraces the game and obviously has become very successful. But in some ways, I guess he fits the category of the kind of guy we were talking about earlier.
Yep.
The guy with the grit, the guy who wants to put the work in, who understands the team mold.
And not in every case, but in some cases, you need to go through some adversity, you know, to come out and to build that mental toughness. Not every athlete has to, you know, have a difficult process to go through, but, it has shown that the guys who have to go through something develop that resiliency. They're able to battle more. And Ryan's a clear example of that. He had, have to battle it in his own way, from college to bouncing to injuries to practice squad to making it through. So you have a real appreciation for those guys that put that kind of work in. And he's somebody that definitely puts the work in. In fact, he was one of the near the top leaders in finish points this week on the offensive line and finishing blocks, finishing plays. So that's one of the stats that we keep track of from an offensive line part that's not maybe out for the public, but I thought that part of his game. He made a great fumble recovery, you know, on a play that, you know, prevented a turnover for us.
Dan, we got about a minute here. I wanted to ask you the uniqueness of this week. We've talked about it's a short week, much more short for Carolina than it is for you guys. But is there anything – you've been so good about keeping things the same.
Yep.
Even though it's a Saturday game, is that the process?
It is, and we've had Monday games, Thursday games, 4 o'clock East Coast games, 1 o'clock games. So whatever the process is, we've had to interrupt practice because we thought we had a tornado coming. So we went in the room and then we came back out. So the team is able to adjust and they know here's what's next. Here's how we're going to do it. And that's what I like about this team. They're able to reset, readjust, and we'll do that again this week knowing, okay, this is the format of the week. This is how we're going to get ready. And that process is fully underway.
Coach, thanks as always. Appreciate the time. We'll see you on Saturday.
All right. Thanks, guys. Good to be on with you.